Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this edition of the game. I'm Russ Cohen. We've got Nico Riesgo coming in a little late, and we've got a special guest online, Ben Grieve. Ben, how are you?
I'm good.
Well, listen, we all know who you are. You were a number two pick in the 94 draft. You hit a lot of homers in the majors. You certainly made your mark. You played 9 years, and now you're going to play in the Mike Modano charity baseball game, which you've been playing in for a few years. Tell me what you've been up to since your playing days.
Well, I got done playing. I think I went to spring training with the White Sox in 2006, and it didn't work out, and that was the end for me. And since then, my son, Bodie, is now 8, and I got a daughter that's 6 and another infant. So I spend most of my time around the house being a mom. But other than that, I coach a little bit here and there, local high school teams and stuff, and play some golf. But I haven't gotten back into the game full-time yet, but eventually that might happen.
You think that might happen? And, well, with the charity softball game, I know it's going to a good cause. Was it the North Texas Children's Hospital? So that's great. But you guys have a lot of fun. Mark Cuban's a guy who plays all the time, and now he's going to bring the O'Brien Trophy. He's actually got a trophy. Is that going to make him really hard to manage in that game?
Well, I don't think anyone could tell Mark what to do. Not even David Stern can tell him what to do. So
true.
He can hold his own, though. I think he's, you know, a couple years back he had some hip trouble, so he was hobbling a little bit. But he can hit the ball, and the game does raise a ton of money for it's called the Heroes Foundation, and it allows inner city kids in Dallas the chance to play on sports teams that they might not have otherwise had the chance to do. And then Mike Modano's foundation, I think that raises money for at-risk kids in Dallas to, you know, help them, you know, get their lives back together. But it's the charity's great, but the event, at first when they asked me to do it, I was kind of skeptical about, you know, playing baseball. It's not even softball. It's real baseball. Like,
right.
You know, with these amateurs and guys, and you know, me being a professional baseball player, not wanting to look stupid, but it's actually a really, really fun event, and they actually take it really serious. Some of these amateur guys that pay to play, they treat it like, you know, like it's the World Series for them. So
oh,
it's
I'm
pretty
sure.
Fun, actually. Yeah.
I'm sure. Now, are you a guy who would play softball? Like, I've been playing softball for 20-something years, and to me, it's still fun. You know, it sort of gives me the same sort of thrills if I were playing baseball. Is that something you would ever consider, or because you played the majors, it would just not, you know, entice you?
I've had people ask me, and I've always just declined. I mean, I would do it, but it's funny. I was in Northern California last summer visiting my in-laws, and I was reading the local paper, mm-hmm. and there was a big article about Eric Burns playing in, like, the local beer league softball, and how he was treating it the same way, like, you know, with the same style, reckless abandonment, and it was pretty funny. But, you know, he's the type of guy that can probably go out and have fun with it. I don't have much desire to play softball.
No, I could understand that. I think we have our co-host on the line. If not, we have a caller. I'll have to check. Hold on a sec. Nico, is that you?
Hey, what's up, Russ?
Hey, Nico, we have Ben Grieve on the line. Ben was the second overall pick in 94 to Paul Wilson, who a lot of Met fans out there will recognize his name, but he pitched around the majors for a while. And Ben, Nico played in the majors for the Expos and actually was a replacement player. We wrote a book about that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I remember the replacement year was, I think, one of my first or second years in spring training, and having meetings with Tony La Russa, who was telling us, you know, you better treat the replacement players with respect. And yeah, I can remember it being a big issue for a 20-year-old kid like me to have to go through.
Right. You were drafted right in 94, right? Right in the middle.
Yeah,
of
I was drafted in 94. And then the next spring training, the big league spring training games, I don't remember quite how long the holdout strike lasted, but I remember these guys that, you know, no one really knew who some of them were playing in these big league spring training games, and then all of a sudden it ended and the regular guys were back and it was like it never happened.
Yep, and Nico was one of those guys. But I have to say, Ben, I'm old enough to have seen your dad play, but I imagine you have bragging rights because, you know, you had a couple of years where you hit more homers than your dad. I think he hit 20 at his best, and you had 28 as your best. So does that give you a little bragging rights at home at the dinner table at some point?
Yeah, I guess it does if I wanted to hold him to it. 20 home runs when he was playing, I think, probably led his team, though. I think that's probably,
it was a good 35
or 40, I don't know. The balls didn't fly quite the same way, and the parks were a little bigger. So I think he was the Rangers MVP one year, at least one year. So he held his own, and my stats were a little bit better, but I think we had similar careers.
Yeah, you definitely did. And although you were 6'4", I don't think your dad was quite that big, right? I mean, you were definitely a little taller.
I had more power than him. He was definitely, from what I hear, I was too young to watch him play, a better defensive player than me, had more speed than me. But I think I got him on the hitting part.
Yeah, he was a good defensive player for sure. I'm trying to see if he did lead the team in homers, and I looked up the wrong year, and it said Jeff Burrows, which, again, that's a tough one, so I don't know.
Burrows,
did he beat out Jeff Burrows?
Mike Hargrove.
Yeah, I mean,
he might have been close. I know he had 20. I think he hit 21 years. He might not have led the team, but I think he was the team MVP.
Actually, no, he did lead it. He did. Burrows had 18 that year. So that's a pretty good accomplishment. And Toby Harrah had 15, who in his day was a really good power-hitting shortstop, which there weren't too many of back then.
Yeah, I remember watching Toby play. He stuck around long enough where I can actually remember him playing, because when my dad got done playing, he was a general manager for a long time, and I was I lived and died by the end result of Ranger games each night. So I watched the Rangers growing up in the 80s, so I'm real familiar with all those guys.
So you were saying Kevin Mensch is going to play in this game, and so now all the pressure is off of you to sort of like hit homers and be the big guy in the home run hitting contest. But you said when we were just chatting before that somebody beat you a couple years ago that maybe you didn't expect.
Well, here's the home run hitting contest. There's like 25 or 30 guys in it, and it's right before the game. So it's obviously not going to drag on like the big league home run derby at the All-Star game where guys are getting like 50 pitches and needing Gatorade breaks from David Ortiz. And so here's, they give you three pitches, and you foul them off.
That's it.
Or hit
them
foul.
Yeah.
So you get three pitches, and it's based on distance. So if you don't do anything in those three pitches, I'm not making excuses, but Warren Sapp,
I'm sorry, it's funny.
No, I was laughing too, and we had a good time with it. But he won the home run derby, and I think I hit two foul balls and a pop up the short outfield. But it was a little embarrassing. But at least it was to a good guy like Warren.
Sure.
Yeah, Warren Sapp was one of my all time football defensive tackles on my all time great team, Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Oh yeah, I met him a couple times in Tampa. He was a friend of one of the guys that worked in the clubhouse, so he would stop by, and he's one of the funniest guys. I don't know him that well, but he's got to be one of the funniest guys I've ever met in a short period of time. It's like a standing comic act when he walked into the clubhouse.
No question. We should point out to the folks listening, to maybe some who don't know, is that you grew up in Arlington and actually went to high school there, so obviously people know you locally really well. And also some of the other names on the list, there's some good ones. I'm a hockey writer by trade. I do write baseball too, so I'm real familiar with Mike Modano, and he's legendary, I mean, especially in that area. And I got to tell you, the guy's in great shape, and I've seen pictures and gotten accounts, and it seems like he's a pretty good ball player too.
Yeah, he can hit. He's got a good swing. He's in a game like that, you want to have guys like that on your side. He was a good player. Brendan Morrow played a couple years.
Yep.
I don't think he's playing this year, but
he's not on the list this year.
He could hold his own. And Turco played one of the years I played, and I think he had played baseball before. He had a really good swing. And so, the hockey players, I know they golf a lot too, but they're
the eye hand.
The ones
that
I've seen, they're good athletes. Yeah, they can hit.
Yeah, and we've got Mark Cuban on the list.
My good old buddy Matt Stairs should be a part of it.
Except
Stairs-y,
he's still playing, Nico.
I played
still
with him in Oakland.
Matt.
He used to bring not all the time, but he had a hockey stick in his locker. He'd fire the puck around the locker room every once in a while.
Yeah, I'm near the Philly area. They love him there here, and obviously he helped them win a championship, so that's a pretty big deal. Some of the other names, Don Nelson. I mean, I remember watching Don as a kid, and also he's the Mavericks president. Everson Walz,
yeah.
hell of an athlete. Now, here's one that maybe could give you some trouble for the home run hitting contest. Michael Clark Duncan, that guy's got some guns.
Is that the guy from the Green Mile?
Yeah, he's big.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw his name on there, and I was, you know, interested in meeting him up close because he does look huge. I don't know if he can.
Yeah, he's a big dude.
Translated to having a powerful
true.
Baseball swing, but we'll see.
That's true, and you're only 35. If at least if Baseball Reference is right, is that correct?
No, that's right. Yeah, 35.
Yeah, so you're a young guy, so you should do fairly well. Now, Nico was telling me when he knew that we were going to have you on, that he felt like he should be playing in a game like this. But Nico, I forget, how old are you?
I'm 44.
Yeah, you're old, dude. I mean, how are you going to hold up against guys like 35 like Ben?
You know, I've been blessed all my life, and I live for events like this to give back to the community and promote the game. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, in the past years, they've had some Hall of Fame guys come out and manage. They
mm-hmm.
don't always play, but Wade Boggs came like three straight years, and he got grabbed his bat and hit in the game, and it looked like he was back with the Red Sox. He could still hit. So I think once you got your swing down, you never lose it. I don't think.
Yeah,
yeah,
they're saying,
I'm with the old Ted Williams philosophy when he was on his deathbed. I believe he's 74 years old. They asked him if he could still hit. He said, "I'd hit 400." I'll be a hitter until I die.
He's still frozen, isn't he? They might bring him back to life. You never know.
Yeah, he still is, unfortunately. But yeah, if you could hit, you could hit, and that's a really good point, Ben. And actually, for people listening out there, like I'm a 48-year-old guy, and I'm probably the oldest guy at this point on my softball team, maybe even in the league. And everybody wants to use like these front-loaded crazy bats, and I have this old Easton bat that basically the weight is just evenly distributed, and I go for singles, and I get hits every game. And it's really just about your level swing and bat speed, right?
That's that philosophy is my same philosophy on golf. I've had the same golf clubs since, I don't know, like 1990, so like 14 years. You know how everyone, mm-hmm. all the new driver comes out, you got to get the new driver because it goes further.
Oh, yeah, titanium,
so,
and yeah.
So these clubs, I don't play that much, so I figure what's the point of buying new clubs. But every time I go play, the guys I play with are like, oh, why don't you get some new clubs, you know? But they work for me, and I, you know, hold my own. I don't see the point in keeping up with technology, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, for that, I'm a technology guy, but for sports, I'm generally not. And this bat, I should be embarrassed to say I got it for like $10 on closeout from a store, and I've used it for like the last 10 years. And it's funny because I still have to sort of check the list and see if it's legal or illegal, but it's still legal, and I guess it should be. I was surprised it was even on the list. But, yeah, I just, you know, I don't know. I guess some of the guys feel like they're going to hit the ball farther if they have these crazy bats, and I just feel like I already know my limitations. I'm not worried about hitting a home run.
Exactly. Is there a limit on how many home runs you can hit in those games, or do they let you?
They actually do have a limit. You can't hit more than three in an inning, and you can actually. This is one that really pissed us off a few weeks ago. We're generally not a team that scores a lot of runs in one given inning, and they cut us at seven. Like that was it. They were like, "That's it, 7-run rule. You can't." And we were like, "Really?" And then the other team really caught up for like the rest of the game, and we almost lost that game. And we were thinking we would have scored like 10 or 12 runs that inning, and they just wouldn't let us. And that was really
so did the umpires just pull that out of nowhere, or was that like some rule?
Yeah,
that
we never even knew about it. We never even knew about it, and we were just like it caught us all by surprise. And maybe it's because usually other teams had done it to us, but I don't think even another team had done it to us in maybe like the decade I've been in this league. And it was just that was one of those things. It was funny, but that's the great thing about baseball, though. Literally, and even softball, even something goofy like that. You could play or watch baseball and see something you've never seen before all the time.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's, you know, a lot of people think the game is slow, but if you stick around and watch the game, there's always something exciting that happens during the course of a game, definitely.
And I have to ask you about tip pitches, because I think there's really something to it. About 5 years ago, I was writing about a tryout I was going to have with the New Haven Cutters, and I went out there, and I just literally went out there to write an article, and I made the first cut, and I hadn't played against live baseball in 20 years. So I practiced a lot, and I definitely stood far away from the plate so I wouldn't get beaned. And I even got a hit in the simulated game, but the point was the guys on the bench were so nice to me, because I was about 10 years older than anybody there, actually maybe 15. They were telling me when this guy was throwing a splitter. They were like, listen, when he digs deep into his glove, he's throwing a splitter. And I got to tell you, the one hit that I got was off that splitter, and then the other out I made was off that splitter. And if those guys didn't tell me that, I'm not sure I would have hit him.
Yeah, there's certain guys that can pick up the littlest things. I never was one of those guys that could go up to the plate and worry about trying to see if the pitcher was, you know, holding his glove a certain way, and then still worry about trying to hit at the same time. Some guys, there was guys that would pick up just the littlest things, like, if he bends his back leg or if he cocks his wrist a certain way, he's going to throw a cutter. But, you know, and then other guys will have guys tell him location if the catcher sets up too early, which I think is a big help, even more so than knowing what pitch is coming. But,
you know what,
yeah, there
exactly
are,
I was going to say location for me, it was always whether he's coming inside or outside. You know, that was huge.
Yeah, because the guys pretty much throw it where they want it, and if you can, it's either going to be in or out. They're not trying to throw it down the middle. So if you got that narrowed down, then you've won half the battle right there. So
I guess.
But
so,
you can get in trouble doing that. I mean, if they pitchers find out you're doing it, they're not too happy about it. That was,
no.
That was my main thing. I never
no,
wanted someone to find out that.
Game.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But it happens way more than you think.
So I'm looking and I'm trying to think years wise some of the ferocious guys you may have faced on the mound, and I imagine Clemens comes to mind, Randy Johnson. Who did you just not like facing?
Well, Randy Johnson definitely was the worst for me, a left-hand hitter. He was throwing, I mean, he threw hard his whole career, but when I faced him in Seattle, I got called up. He was pitching, I think he had 19 wins. He didn't start the game. They started, I think, Omar Olivares. And let Omar pitch four innings. They let Omar pitch four innings, so he wouldn't get the win. And they brought Randy Johnson in the fifth inning. Well, I think I was the first batter, and I think he had 2,999 or 3,999 strikeouts. So he's either going for his 4,000th or 3,000th strikeout, and the crowd was going crazy. And I remember that, like, that was the first time I ever felt like I had zero chance of getting a hit off this guy. And he's, you know, obviously so tall, but he. As a left-hand hitter, anyone that played in the years I played would have to, if they faced Randy Johnson, say that he was the toughest hitter or the toughest pitcher to face. As far
and
as the
is
right-hander
it the movement pitcher. On the ball, or is it because he was so tall and lanky that you just couldn't see the arm release? Like, what was the real issue there?
It's just his intimidation factor. He's ugly. He's tall. It looks like he's halfway to the plate when he releases the ball. Like, I never faced Billy Wagner, but I think similar velocity, I wouldn't have had the same, fear of facing Billy Wagner just because he's not so tall and just intimidating. I think that's what gave Randy Johnson a lot of success was, you know, he'd hold the glove up over his face. If you took a good swing against him and fouled a pitch off, he would just look like he was so pissed off that you actually took a good swing against him. It worked for him, and I think guys that, you know, I was one of them. I was scared to face him. I don't mind admitting it.
I want to tell people out there that you're going to be playing in the Reebok Heroes Celebrity Baseball Game July 9th, Dr. Pepper Park, Frisco, Texas. I've been to Frisco. I actually played a little pickup hockey out there at one of the practice rinks for the Stars. It's actually really nice out there. Tickets are $5 to $15. That's nice. Looks like they open the park around 2:30, and then the game is actually at 6, but there's all kinds of things going on and celebrity people singing national anthems and those kinds of things, so that sounds like fun. Nico, would you have hit Randy Johnson?
Absolutely. I got no fear in any pitcher. That's just my mindset. Doesn't matter if it's Randy Johnson, Nolan Ryan, Doc Gooden. I don't care if he's throwing 200 miles an hour. My whole mental philosophy, the ball is going back harder than you throw it, and it's going at your forehead, so you better watch out.
That was my philosophy on every single pitcher except Randy Johnson.
Right, and that makes sense. And that makes sense because he's like a game changer that way. Now, I don't know if you ever go to the site sort of like Baseball Reference or Ben, and they rank guys, and you're ranked number 1,415. You're ahead of Joe Orsulak, but Kevin Young is ahead of you. Does that seem fair?
I think I've looked at that website, and do they have six or eight guys that are like similar comparisons through
yeah,
their career?
Yeah, like Milton Bradley
that,
similar to you? Yeah, but I don't think you sound saner than Milton Bradley, so I don't know if that's fair to say that you guys are similar.
If he could ever stay on the field, I think he'd have me on the field, but he has ways of hurting his career. But Joe Orsulak, I don't know.
You're just ahead of Joe Orsulak.
I'll take that, I guess. I know who he is. I remember watching him play.
Well, here are guys who are similar to you. Eric Burns, who you mentioned, who's playing in the beer league now, who was a good player. Brad Wilkerson, who I actually interviewed for our book called Strike Three when he was a player for the Expos. Really good outfielder. Austin Kearns, Yvonne Calderon, Bradley.
Calderon was an all-star, I think.
Yeah.
When I was growing up, I wanted to be a big leaguer, and I can remember thinking to myself, all right, well, if I play in the big leagues, I'm happy. And then, you know, I got to the big leagues. I played 8 years, and I made an all-star team my first year, which is ironic. Didn't make one after that. But
rookie of the year.
All in all, I'll take it. I wish I would have played a little longer and had more success after I left Oakland. But, the game definitely made me a lot of money, and I can't say I have any regrets.
Now,
let me
the
ask
money
you a question
published...
about the eight years, because that's kind of definitive. It's just short of a 10-year vested for the Major League pension. How does that kind of sit with you? I have this belief that everyone should be protected or have rights to the pension, and that's not necessarily those with 10 years, but what are your thoughts?
Well, the good thing, I'm not sure how it is in other sports, is that, you get percentage. So 10 years is full, and 8 years is close to a full pension. But the thing I've always gone by is if you play 8 or 10 years, you probably had some success. And nowadays, you probably, if you've handled your money the right way,
you made some money. You
probably don't need to rely on your pension if you've played that long. You know, guys that played 3 or 4 years and kind of bounced around, those are the guys that probably are hurting a lot more, that maybe need a little more chunk of the pot. But I think baseball is handled, they got people handling baseball, they handle it the right way as far as taking care of the guys and your insurance and taking care of their players. I know football's had some problems with some of the older guys, but baseball is a classy sport. It's done the right way.
Now, on the site, they actually have your posted salaries and what you made career. If I gave the number, would you say if it was close or not?
Oh, yeah. It's on there. It's probably right.
It says career to date, over $14 million.
Yeah. Well, after my second year in Oakland, I had a good year, and I got that one contract that, it was the 4 years. It was about $14 million. So that was all my money.
Yep.
It's like you play your career to, you get your signing bonus when you're drafted, and you think that's enough to last you your life, which I actually thought. And then you realize that, you're going to have to do something to make the big money, and that's what guys play for, is that one contract. And I was lucky enough to get that 1 4-year contract, and thankfully I got it, and I don't have to work anymore. So.
Sure. Now, 1 year, in 2000, you led the league in something, the American League. Do you remember what it was?
Yeah, I know. The fans in Oakland reminded me every time I came. But was it double plays?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was close to strikeouts, too, I'm sure. But
you were second in strikeouts.
Yeah. Well, I had Jason Giambi hitting in front of me. He was on base like 90% of the time, so half of it's his fault for being on first base every time I got up.
That's funny. So you must be amazed that a guy like Giambi is still playing.
Oh, yeah, I love – I feel like I've been done playing a while, and then I watch baseball, and it's good to see guys that I actually still played with, like Giambi and Stairs and Tejada still playing, and Tim Hudson still pitching like he used to. But, yeah, Jason is great. I love I love playing with him. He's such a great guy, and I think he, a couple weeks back, he hit 3 home runs in a game. You know,
he did.
It was great to see.
No, that's fun stuff. And again, we're talking about the Mike Modano Heroes charity baseball game that you're going to play in. Any predictions? Are you going to predict that you're going to win the home run derby? Or are you going to?
Well, they have guys involved with the foundations that kind of run the game. They have like a draft, and they, you know, they sit down and they take it serious. The guy will pick a player, and the other guy, like me and Kevin Mensch are playing, so they'll split us up, and then they try to make the teams as even as possible. And a lot of the same guys come back, so they know what guys' skill level is. But I have been on the winning team all 4 years I've played, so I don't know if it's just luck or they've stuck me in the right place. But if you're on my team, basically, you're probably going to win. And the winning team does get the home clubhouse in Frisco the following year.
That's a big deal. Yeah, it's a little nicer. I imagine. And
you
get all that.
Push the teams up. But, you know, some of the guys, like I said before, they take it pretty serious. And even the Cowboys players that come out, they sense when they get out there, I don't know if they going into it, that it's just they think it's some fun game. They can go out and screw around. But once they get there, I think they realize that a lot of these guys that pay to play in this game are wanting to win. And so that they up their game a little bit. And they, like DeMarcus Ware played 1 year, and I don't know if he played baseball before, but he looked like he could hit and could run. And Jason Kidd played last year, and mm-hmm. I know he'd played before. He was a great player. And but it's a lot of fun, and they'll let you know if you're slacking off, that's for sure.
Well, Brady James for the Cowboys, linebacker, he's 6'2", 245. And then since these guys are on strike, I imagine he's going to be kind of angry. So I would imagine he's a guy to look out for power-wise.
Yeah, I think he's played a couple years, and you know, if you got that much strength and you got a halfway decent swing, you're going to be able to hit the ball pretty far. I'm trying to think who else.
How do the Hollywood people do? Like you know, again, we mentioned Michael Clark Duncan. There's also Jeff Stoltz. I mean, so I don't know.
Yeah,
he's pretty good.
A couple of them. I don't want to mention any names. I don't remember some of their names, but you feel for them. And then there's guys that – I think one of the guys' name is Sam Page. And he's,
okay.
I'm trying to think what show he's on. It's one of those Vegas shows.
I don't see Sam Page on here.
I don't think he's playing this year, but
– Oh, okay.
I think that he's an actor that has come. He came like 3 of the years I played in it. And he played baseball at one of the Ivy League schools, I think. And so he could play, obviously. He's played before. But then there's some of the other guys that you can tell – are not, you know, don't have the experience. And then every once in a while, Seventh Heaven, yeah.
Yeah,
and,
which I never watched, but...
I never have either.
but he does look like a pretty big guy.
Yeah, they had the local soccer team. I'm not even sure the soccer team's name in Dallas, the Dallas something, but their goalie came out and played, and he was from South America somewhere, and I don't think he'd ever played baseball. He had no idea what was going on. So
that's always fun.
Yeah.
That's always fun.
But it's a fun game.
Well,
it's a fun game.
Before we let you go, we're actually working on a baseball movie based on our book, and I wanted to ask you, as a former player, now this is something that bugs me, but it may not bug you. When you hear a guy like Kevin Costner in an interview saying, oh, yeah, I could throw 85, 90 miles an hour, you know, the guy's like 40-something years old, do you believe it or do you not believe it? Because I never believe a minute of it because I see what guys can really throw, and I just think that's a lot of Hollywood stuff.
Well, I didn't hear him say that, but there is no chance that Kevin Costner can pick a baseball up right now and throw it 75 miles an hour, if I had to guess. But
yeah.
He can tell he played baseball before. I'll give him that in those movies.
Sure.
He probably didn't need a stunt double or anything. And like Robert Redford of The National, he had a good swing, and I'd give guys credit that have good swings, but if they start saying that they could hit a major league fastball or throw a ball like a major league pitcher, then that's a little different story. I think their movies are going to their heads maybe a little bit.
Well, listen, Ben, we really appreciate you coming on again. Everybody can check out Sportsology. We'll have all the info up after the show about how you can get tickets and everything to the 10th annual Reebok Heroes Celebrity Baseball Game. It's over at Frisco Park, Dr. Pepper Ballpark, so I imagine the Dr. Pepper will be flowing. Hey, Ben, thanks a lot for coming on.
All right, anytime. Thanks, guys.
Hey, Ben, yeah, and keep in shape, too, because I think we're going to be giving you a call when it comes time to cast, and we're looking for those ball players to get in front of the silver screen.
Oh, yeah.
I think you fit right in with us.
Definitely. Let
all
me
right.
know. That's, I got all the time in the world, so that's one of the things I do is stay in shape. So, yeah, let me know.
All right, we'll give you
yeah,
a call.
Definitely.
Thanks, Ben.
All right. Thanks, guys. Bye.
So, Nico, that was great. Ben Grieve, really
yeah,
an
awesome
solid
yeah.
player in his day and a hell of a power hitter, really.
That's awesome. It's so awesome to have some great players come join us on the show. It seems like it's just getting better and better every week, Russ.
It does. It does. And it really is it's a fun thing, and we hope that people appreciate it because, look, a guy like that who won Rookie of the Year, that's a hell of a player. And for that, those 20-something homer seasons like he did, 27, 104, 28, 86, those are great numbers. And that's something that he definitely should be proud of. Although I did like when he groaned about the double plays and the strikeouts. He knew right away where I was going.
Yeah, what a great guy, and he's very humble. And he, like I said, he can laugh at himself. So, you know, the character he's got that when you can be able to laugh at yourself. And look at him, what a life. He's 35 years old, he's retired with $14 million in the bank. Man, you can't beat it.
You can't. I mean, he worked hard for it, like you said, and he really, you know, that was a guy who really earned everything, and he had a nice career, and now he's, you know, he gets to enjoy life, and that's a good thing. I think that that's what all baseball players strive for, I'm sure.
Absolutely. That's the name of the game. You play the game hard, and you get to receive some of its great rewards.
And you do get some of the great rewards. So, Nico, tell everybody about MLPO and the movie and anything else we've got coming up, our sponsor, if you want to mention them again.
Yeah, absolutely. Visit us online, www.mlpo.org. Play the game with us. Our sponsor is this incredible Shore Mortgage here out of Birmingham, Michigan. They are just coming to the plate every single day, looking to save our members money. Actually, they've got their Shore Mortgage bankers on the line now, receiving calls at 248-833-0227. You can call now and save some money on your mortgage.
Well, and again, this show has been sort of centered around the 10th annual Reebok Heroes Celebrity Baseball Game. It's the Mike Modano Foundation. Mike played for Detroit last year, your team. I don't know if he signed for this year. I have to see what the status of Mike is for the upcoming season. I haven't really heard anything, whether he's going to give it a go another year or how it's going to work out. But I imagine he'll probably play another year with Detroit. And people in Dallas loved him. They were very sad when he left, but they get to see him play in a great game like this. So that's kind of nice.
Yeah, it's going to be a great weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be a great weekend. Maybe we can get you in the game next year. It sounds like you're itching to play. If at some point they feel like I'm a celebrity, I'll certainly play. I actually, in my last game, Nico, I had to run from first to home twice in that game on hits, and I can't remember the last time I had to do that.
Russ, I think you're a budding celebrity. I mean, with your book now and the Hall of Fame archive, Strike 3, you're a celebrity in my book any day.
All right, well, Maybe they'll give us a call next year and we'll go down to Frisco and play in this game. Anyhow, Nico, that's going to wrap up this edition of the game, and we'll catch everybody next time, and Lisa will be on next week's show in case anybody's wondering. Take care.
Okay, can't wait. Thanks, Russ.
All right, great job.